RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
And KC on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Sky River Casino.
Well, the Tigers take a 5-3 lead here in the bottom of the sixth. As I about, what do you say, Joe, about 25 minutes ago declared it over? Maybe 40 minutes ago.
Yeah.
No, it's over. It's
about.
It's a wrap. Now they're up 5-3, no outs in the bottom of the sixth inning. And if they win this game, Skewball is ready to go. He's ready to go for a game.
And he's the real deal, too. So, I mean, yeah, it could get real interesting if they take this game for sure.
Yeah, sorry, it's 5-3 now. Although good news is somebody just got picked off. The guy got picked off at first.
Well, good. That's nice. They got an out.
And it may be challenged, and he feels like he got back in time. So maybe there isn't an out. We'll find out in a second. Got to do the – that's what they do when they challenge. You know, we got to do that. So
I hate this show sometimes.
Real quick, are you guys excited for the automatic – ball system coming in? ABS.
What? ABS. I'm sorry. What do you think this is, Joe?
Wait a minute.
What do you think this is, Joe?
I should have called it the ABS. I should have called it the ABS.
Yeah. What is wrong with you?
Hey, we're in honor of our brother. Take a lap.
It's by you.
I'll take a lap. Here we go.
There you go. Joe's off taking a lap.
Yo, that was crazy.
I don't know about your system.
Hey,
pal.
Look, the rookie needs to pay his dues in this league before he starts just talking.
That was bad.
Automatic
ball strike challenge system. That's better, right?
I actually hate that too, by the way.
You don't like it?
I hated it.
Tell me why.
I saw it in the All-Star game. I was like, this is stupid. No. You know me, though. I appreciate the human element of sports. Yeah. And I don't need them to get every pitch correct. There's going to be ones that cost my team the game that I hate that I get wrong. But that's sports, man. I hate it. I hate it.
Jalen says it sounds painful.
I mean, I agree, but
you can get a hot tub and some Mountain Dew, it'll be fine. That's a good callback for anyone who's been listening for 2 hours. I was just getting ready to say, as you're talking about the automatic ball system, how much I hate this show. Well, because I have a tab. I have a tab pulled up, and all that's visible on the tab is loose balls.
There we go. Is it because I'm
this
here?
Damn book from Jason Williams.
Am I supposed to be like trying to, like, you know?
Yeah, or? You're not. That's but you're. Yeah, no. And yes, you're supposed to throw the flag. You're out here committing technical fouls.
Yeah, I'm on the field.
You're that's a corrupt not, ref. Yeah. That's
you're Joe Donahue right now. That's who you are. Goodness gracious.
Do you know who Tim Donahue is?
Oh, good question.
I've heard the name, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know exactly.
So you don't
who
know
that
who
is.
That is? Like if tell me first of all, Joe, how old are you?
Thank you for starting with that question.
Yep.
I'm 24.
Okay, so Joe
that was
is,
sneaky a while ago.
Joe is younger than Jesse.
Yes.
By
yes.
Jesse just did he just turn 20, he didn't turn 30.
No, 29, I think.
I think he turned 29.
Okay, so that's like a whole and, high school. And like, not, we wouldn't have gone to high school together.
The story of Tim Donahue is actually sneaky long. Like what you
no,
said,
it
that's
was a long
like
time
15
ago.
15 years ago now?
15.
He talks about, he references the Kings game. That was 2002.
No, for sure, yeah.
But that happened, the story came out maybe 5 or 6 years later, right?
Oh, yeah, so no,
that's,
okay.
That's 20 years
okay.
ago.
Oh, yeah, we're in 2026. Because
it's 2026. Yeah.
I mean,
20 years ago.
I'm looking at it like, yes, I do know.
The corrupt
about
referee.
All of, yes, yes. I know okay. about all of this. I guess I just didn't know the name of the exact ref off the top of my head. But if I do know about all this, yes.
Well, we're going to drop some references during our time together over the next 2 weeks that you are just not familiar with.
Oh, I know. I'm and, you know, I'm going to just have to go with it.
Do you know who the Giant Gonzalez is?
Good question.
See, okay, here's the thing, though. One thing I'm not going to do is pretend like I know what I'm saying if I don't. I will own it.
Yeah,
so.
Who does that?
Okay, so what was the question?
Bro, that's half of this business.
No, I'm talking about me in the office. No.
Talking about me and hockey. he asked you if you know who Giant Gonzalez is.
Giant Gonzalez. See, like the
See,
names
you,
that, off the top
that's,
of my
that's
head.
Too obscure. Do you know who Andre the Giant is?
Yes.
Yeah. That's, oh, yeah, that's
okay.
A, that's
okay.
A staple.
It's like a George Washington. Right. Maybe you don't know who the eighth president who, is, but you know who the first one is.
Do you know who the Godfather is?
Mm.
Like the movie?
Mm. No.
No, man, pimping ain't easy. That's what
nah,
he's talking
yeah,
about.
See,
he's talking about.
This is exactly what I was scared of.
Oh,
you guys,
Lord,
like,
sorry.
Asking me if I
sorry,
knew things, Jack. And I just don't.
Oh. Whoa, stop! Oh my God.
Bobby Baez just sent one into Lake Michigan.
Suddenly, Seattle is getting their ass kicked. It's 7-3.
Oh, man. Javi Baez.
Holy crap. It was 3-0 5 minutes ago.
It only went 238 feet, though.
How is that possible?
No, it's... Man, it's
what
so
the hell
up.
Does that mean?
That look that's like that's the stat I get when I hit a softball 230 85 miles an hour.
230 feet.
I think it meant to say 2380 feet because that was a bomb by Javi Baez.
No, what I think it meant to say was 2000 miles an hour because it couldn't have left the ballpark. Oh yeah, just sit there and chew your gum like nothing's wrong.
Like, no, you might have to live stream like, game five. I might need you.
What is this? He's just sitting here. He's in here chewing his gum like that. They're beating your ass this entire inning. Oh my God.
Oh man. Well.
Oh, what an
game
inning.
Five.
Well, thank God they got two outs at this point. I wasn't even sure they had that.
Damn.
All after you got picked off at first.
That's tough, too, for the Mariners because it started off with, I think, two runs being scored in the inning and nobody out. You pick the guy off, you strike him out, and you're like, okay, we gave up two, but it's like we'll get out of this unscathed, like only with the two runs. And then Javi Baez
man,
turns it up.
Goodness gracious. It is all of a sudden 7-3. Mm. Seattle is still not out of the inning. It's the bottom of the sixth, and they're staring at a winner-take-all game five as they finally just got out of the inning. Hey, show the pitcher chewing his gum again.
Oh, man. You know, the people in Seattle, like, they really want this. They really want to win.
Oh,
It's been quarter century since they had a winning baseball team advanced. I think they won a playoff round in 25 years or something like that. If they were to lose, it would be pretty heartbreaking. Do you know the worst loss I've ever seen in sports? Is that Rangers loss in the World Series against the Cardinals?
Oh, okay.
The one where game six, they were a strike away. They were up, I think, one or two. They were a strike away.
10 years ago? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, about 10 years. It might have been 2015.
Okay.
It might have been 20.
Is that 10 years ago?
Well, no, it might have been 2013. Because it was after they lost to the Giants.
Okay.
And they went like the next year. It was 2011, actually. It was 2011. They went back the next year, played the Cardinals, a strike away.
Mm-hmm.
They give up a triple to tie it in the ninth. Mm-hmm. They take the lead on Josh Hamilton's home run. Nolan Ryan is there.
I was going to say,
happy.
You know what I remember the most about is they kept showing Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again, they kept showing him.
They were out away again in the 10th. And lost, I think, a strike away again in the 10th.
Mm.
Gave up the tying run, and then David Freese hits the home run to walk it off
David Freese.
In 11. Man. That was, to this day, that is still the worst. I mean, we're talking about winning a championship. You're two times you're a strike away from winning a championship. And not only do you lose that game, you go on to lose the series in 7. Yikes. Yikes.
We got Kings basketball tonight. I saw some people in the chat asking. I believe this is a Kings.com game.
I think it is too.
So I know.
I think next Wednesday is on California.
I think
one of them is on.
Friday's on California. No.
What? Yeah, I think that is too. I think one of the home games is. Though. I think California.
You're right. Game. I'm sorry. You're right. It's Wednesday. Yeah. Sorry. Wednesday and Friday are.
Oh no.
Okay. I'll make sure you have the password.
Uh-huh.
Because we can't. How are we going to go back and watch on Friday? We got to go celebrate Jesse. How are we going to go back and watch that game on Friday?
Well, I would love the password.
Yeah, but I forgot. You've got to.
I don't have nothing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm like Adam Silver said, I'm just watching YouTube.
Yep. All right. Kenny's YouTube account.
Watching YouTube. I don't know.
So yeah, Wednesday and Friday, unless you got Kenny's hookup, is Kings.
Everybody got YouTube.com.
Kings.com/live, I believe it is.
Yeah, everybody got YouTube.com. That's where they watch D'Lone KC. Did you catch any of the game yesterday? Cavs Bulls on Peacock.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I saw the first quarter.
How was it?
It was cool. Noah Eagle and Reggie Miller were on the call.
Did you read the thing? And I don't know if this is live yet. I have to imagine it's not, about YouTube TV and Peacock.
No.
So if I have this right, YouTube TV is going to start carrying Peacock sporting events, except NFL games.
Oh, okay.
So, it literally says not the NFL. So I assume that includes the NBA.
Which means also when you say that, you're really just talking about that exclusive wild card game.
In terms of the NFL, yeah.
That they
yeah, I don't think they have another one.
Because they obviously show Sunday Night Football.
That's NBC, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what it said, I'd assume it's the NBA as well.
Monday, I'm trying to see, let's see, other would seem to.
Now, Monday night is supposed to be the exclusive Peacock game for the NBA. That's the one. That's on Peacock only. Tuesday is the one that's supposed to be on NBC. if I have that correct.
It's, yeah, it's very confusing. So they're launching surprise. They're launching something on YouTube TV that includes sporting events, but it's not being specific with the sporting events that it's showing, other than that wild card game will not be a part of it.
Mm.
And they're theorizing that it's some sort of new NBC sports network, but it's really just their
streaming.
It's Peacock. So, yeah. It's the stuff that's on Peacock.
I think they have games that are exclusively on, or excuse me, they have college basketball games that are exclusively on Peacock. So that would be on TV now, or on your YouTube TV.
Yeah. I wonder how many of those types of deals we start seeing moving forward. Does Netflix ever strike a deal for their live content to be aired on a particular app, be it YouTube,
Hulu, or something?
I assume all of the Disney channels, who, shout out to Disney, they just sent an email that said their prices are going up again. I assume the Disney channels will stay married to each other. The Hulus, Disney, and ESPN will all be married to each other in some way, shape, or form.
Do you feel like Netflix doesn't necessarily have the same problems that a Peacock or a Hulu has? Trust me, I'm not saying that everybody has, but it feels like...
In what regard?
It feels like Netflix is almost like regular TV in that everybody seems to have it. I know literally not everybody has it, but
it's not often referenced in the names of the HBO or Max, right, or whatever,
right.
It's called.
It could get sporadic when you talk about who has Peacock or Max or
Disney
Hulu,
Plus.
Disney Plus, but it feels like everybody has Netflix, like almost like how not everybody does, but it feels like everybody has cable. It feels like Netflix is in that tier. And maybe they wouldn't necessarily need to.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know that Netflix, were they the first? They couldn't have been the first OTT service, right? I mean, maybe they were. Yeah. I remember Netflix was once a DVD delivering.
Joe, do you remember that? Joe's not listening to it.
I don't blame him. No, you're fine, Joe. I'm listening to both
versions, actually, right now.
Do you remember when Netflix was a DVD?
Did you used to get them at Rayleigh's?
Yeah,
like CVS. Like a red box?
You could get them mailed to you as well.
Right, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
I never did.
Then you have to mail it back, and then you get a new one?
Then you have to mail it back, yeah. I still remember the little pamphlet it came in. It was like wax envelope.
Wait, how did they get back up?
I was about to say, how are they already batting again?
How is Detroit batting again?
It's now 8-3 Tigers. Well, at least nobody was on base. Quick inning. Yeah, quick inning.
It wasn't three pitches?
Pretty much, yeah.
Never looked up and saw them at bat.
Julio Rodriguez
was up at one point. Yeah, it was quick inning. Quick inning. 8-3
what
Tigers.
A circus. I'm blaming
what
you.
Circus.
I'm blaming you for this.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm your you to how you are for me and the Giants.
Yeah, it might be.
I'll turn it right now. I'll turn to the Cubs game.
Yeah, put Netflix on, pal. Goodness.
I think they might have been the first, though.
I don't know. Maybe people had Netflix for so long. Zabel says D'Lo can't watch no baseball games without a team crumbling. That's terrible. Not inaccurate, but terrible. Okay. I thought it was interesting. So the presentation was good last night?
It was cool. It's. I didn't watch it live, so that was the interesting about it.
Okay.
I didn't watch it live, and at least I'm glad I caught myself. For the subscription that I have to
the
Peacock.
The premium Peacock is what you're referring to.
Because look, I'll say
you got like a premium Peacock?
I'll say it. This is just juvenile, but I was going to say, I don't know, but for the peacock that I have.
I get a lot of mileage out of my peacock. So I got a lot of options with it. I don't know.
For the service that I have, the tier that I have commercials.
Okay.
So I watched it on replay, and every time there was a break in the action, I had to watch a minute commercial break. I couldn't fast forward through it.
I see. Okay.
So I don't know if maybe you have the premium peacock
subscription. Oh, I do. I do, pal.
Maybe you don't have to deal with that. It's like watching it on replay. You just you can watch it however you want to. But the presentation, Noah's great. Reggie, it was
cool. Okay, yeah, good.
They were on there. I didn't know the sideline report. I wasn't familiar who that was. They had one little gripe is they spoke to Kenny Atkinson before the game in the dressing room for way too long. It was like 5 minutes.
Oh,
and he was like, he wasn't very engaging. Like, he was speaking in low tones. And I said, all right, let's get this kink out of the way.
Stop talking to coaches. Like, they don't want to talk to you. They offer nothing. I've never watched a coach's interview where I went, oh, that was great. Boy, did I learn something in that two-question segment. Stop doing this.
You know,
it adds nothing to the broadcast. It's hard for the coaches. It's really hard for the reporters. Stop doing this.
Ironically, you know who I think you could have that type of, you take away?
Doug. Yeah, Doug gave us a couple.
I think Doug
Yeah.
might be like instantly the best in those moments. But I get what you're saying.
But still, I mean, Steve Kerr understands the value of media. He tries to offer something in his time. Like, he doesn't do anything to embarrass the reporter or anything like that. Mm-hmm. He understands, like, he did it. Like, Doug did it.
Right.
Steve did it. Like, I think they understand the value in that. But also, that's 2 of 30.
Right.
Like, it's a lot of games because they do it for their home teams too.
What do you think?
Or their home network, excuse me.
What do you think about the players? Like,
I don't think any in the game.
Yeah.
None.
You see, they
do that.
They do that heavy in the WNBA.
I don't like that. Oh, yeah.
And I seen it.
Well,
in
still
the
better
NBA.
Than what they did with Becky.
Did you see the other day? Did you see the other day? Who was it? Oh, I was watching the game and they were talking to the guy and he started arguing the call. Like, he was answering the question and it was like.
It was a W game?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Oh, who was it? Who's left that's
Nate
a.
Nate Tibbett?
Who's left that's a male
Mercury.
Coach? Yeah. Yeah, it was the Mercury. It was against the Liberty. And
yeah, because Liberty was coached by Sandy.
And they were talking to him and he goes, we just got to do better at rebounding. Hey, no, you saw that the first time. Stop it. You saw it, right? No, it was, I'm sorry.
What was the question?
But, yeah, they routinely do that in the WNBA.
I think Nate Tibbett is the highest paid coach in the WNBA.
Mm.
Yeah, Matt Ishbia was. He was throwing money around when he.
I remember that story now that you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Off air story.
Yeah, now that you mention
it.
But
apparently that deal was good for anyone.
That the presentation was cool.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if there's going to be I'm sure actually there's going to be a difference between a Peacock broadcast and an NBC broadcast, but I thought it was good. It was cool. Cavs look good.
Well, Cavs I think they're going to look great during the regular season.
Oh, don't do that to them.
No, I'm not doing anything.
Don't do that
to them,
Damian Tapia.
I don't think. Well, gotta get our Cleveland jokes in while our brother's not here. Oh, it's nice. Seattle got out of the inning with only giving up one run. There have been like 7 home runs hit in the last 25 minutes. No, I think Cleveland's going to be great during the regular season, but it's not like it's nothing's going to matter.
Yeah.
Only thing that matters is they're going to have to be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you: is that success.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be the NBA Finals. It doesn't have to be a championship. But you got to get to the conference finals.
You got
to
be one of the last four teams.
And I was watching that game last night, and I was like, they kind of got to – they're going to get the rap as – for some people, it's like, just a good regular season team. And they caught a raw deal because they were injured in that Pacers series. I think Mobley missed the game.
Yeah, absolutely. They had like
– Donovan missed the game? Yeah. Or he played – I know he played
hurt. Yeah, he played hurt. Donovan rolled his ankle and played.
Yeah. Garland
played
was
really
out.
Well, too.
Garland was out in that series. Did Jared Allen miss a game?
I can't remember. But I know they had like three or four guys missing, excluding Donovan's injury that he played through.
Matter of fact, Stephen A. was calling him out. Garland came back for game three and they won, but he had missed the first two games of that series.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So speaking of the East, we talked at length about this situation with Giannis.
Oof.
The Shams article. Shams said on, I don't think this was in his article. I think this was on a TV hit. Shams said that Giannis and his agent have been working to figure out which teams can acquire him if he asks out before the trade deadline.
What?
Like, I don't know if Milwaukee, like, if their executives are sitting in their offices going, yeah, everything's great. What do you mean? This is awful. Mm-hmm. There was another report. This is independent of Shams. This was, I think, on the ground. OKC, they're not interested. They don't want to get involved in this. Obviously, they're very happy with what they have.
Yeah, they're going to be good forever.
Yeah, they are. Prove me wrong. I dare you. Prove me wrong. But, not that Oklahoma City was the only suitor. That's ridiculous. But there's a lot of different things at play when it comes to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Part of it is his family being overseas, which he addressed on, I think it was after practice yesterday. And he said He chose this life. Like, he understands that part of what comes with what he does is being famous and being in the public spotlight. His kids didn't. His kids have a right to privacy. His children have the right to privacy, and they'll get privacy in Greece. They won't get it here. Mm-hmm. This is not good for Milwaukee. It was bad yesterday.
Yeah.
It was way worse when I heard that Shams Charania TV hit.
It's over, man. It's over. It's over, Milwaukee. And I'm not saying you got to trade him today. But
it wouldn't hurt.
start planning for around the trade deadline. Start putting the fillers out there and quietly letting teams know if you're looking to catapult yourself at the deadline. Howl at us.
And this is where, like, you do this now independent of Giannis and his desires.
Yeah, well, he's moving independently.
Yeah, it sure feels like it.
He's moving to set himself up best for what he needs to do. So now Milwaukee's got to do the same thing. And hopefully they align. You know, you want to get out of here. We can find a deal that works for you and for us. Hopefully that's the case.
But you land in that tricky Anthony Davis position, Pelicans position, where it's like, he's here for a year and a half. So if you want to pay whatever it's going to cost to land a guy who's been top three in MVP for like the last 6 years, yeah, like, cool, go ahead. But we're not guaranteeing we're signing anywhere.
Yeah.
And if he has a preferred destination, then it sounds like it's New York. No one that term was not used in Shams' reporting yesterday. It was that's the only team that the Bucks have talked to, and that was it wasn't at the request of Giannis. It was at the if you're going to talk to somebody, talk to New York line. And
did you see that little tidbit that I put in the in the notes. Had you heard about that?
I had. I had heard about it. Go ahead. Tell it. I had heard about it. I think I read it somewhere. I might have read it on Twitter of all places.
Yeah. There's only one airport in the country that has year-round direct flights to Athens, Greece, and it's the Newark Airport.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is Giannis flying commercial?
I don't know if he is, but his family might be.
His family might be. Good call. Yeah. Athens.
His
and
family
Newark.
Might be the ones going back. I don't think Giannis.
Well, that's
is
if anyone can
season.
Fly. Like, I don't know if anyone can actually fly right now.
That's the other issue.
Shout out to anybody who's actually been able to get on a plane and get off it in a different city, because it doesn't seem like that's happening very often. All right, we have what will certainly be the most controversial power rankings of the season, at least to date.
The disrespect.
Plus, James Hamm joins us as we get ready for Kings basketball tonight. It's the Kings and the Raptors at the Golden 1 Center. It's D'Lo and KC right here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
You're listening to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's a big, rich town. I just come from the poorest part.
We got power rankings, baby. I'm going to need you to go first, though.
Yeah. Power rankings with integrity. With respect. For teams that accomplished something in this league.
I just want to remind everyone, this man had the Baltimore Ravens in his power rankings like 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah, they were like 1 and 3.
That was 2 weeks ago.
They were like 1 and 3.
last week, I had the Eagles at number 1, the Bills at number 2.
They lost.
Man, jeez. the Lions at 3, the Bucks at 4, and the Chargers at 5. Well, as I look at this, I was about to say, did 4 of my 5 top 5 teams lose? It was just 3. Some changes. And number 1, I'll start there.
Okay.
Number 1, I have the Detroit Lions.
All
a
right.
team that
All right.
after week 1, I said was not going to make the playoffs. Yeah. And after week 3, I said, let me take that all the way back. I was wrong. They're making the playoffs. And now here we are after 5 weeks. They're number 1 in the power rankings. So I've got the Lions at 1. I've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 2. The Bucks at 2. Baker Mayfield, MVP candidate. Man, that's a good team.
That's a good team. That's a good team, absolutely.
Number 3, only moving back one spot.
4 game-winning drives in the final minute from Baker Mayfield this year. No one's ever done that
before. Captain Clutch. Number 3, only moving back one spot. I got the Buffalo Bills. That was tough loss on Sunday Night Football.
Steep fall.
From 1 to 4. I got the Eagles at 4.
Mm-hmm.
I've just kind of been waiting for a reason. I haven't liked what I've seen from them this year.
I know you have.
So I've been waiting for an opportunity. And at number 5, making their first entry into KC's top 5, their debut for the season. Oh, yep. Boy. Yep. Y'all knew it. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Because I have integrity. And I show respect.
Okay.
And that who is number 5 for me.
So let me start with 5. Because I at one point had 3 different teams in this position. It was down to the Colts, the Jaguars, and the 49ers. And here's what I looked at. I'm going BCS style here, which was a disaster. The BCS never worked for anybody. But I looked at strength of schedule and thought, okay, I love everything they're doing. I'm all in. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the Colts out of the conversation for right now. They're tied for 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Then it became Jaguars 49ers. And it was like, okay.
Simple. This is
the Jaguars beat the 49ers.
Yeah,
so I wrote the Jags in.
Yeah.
But then I looked at one little thing. And it's like, well, the 49ers lost to the Jaguars.
Yeah.
That's a great loss. Who did the Jaguars lose to? They lost to the Bengals.
Oh, it's tough.
In the game that Joe Burrow got hurt.
Browning.
And remember, Joe Burrow got hurt early.
Yeah.
Like, Browning played a lot in that game. Browning was just replaced by Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's playing Sunday against the Packers for the 2nd time this year. You hear what I said? He's playing the Packers for the 2nd time in 5 weeks. And determined that of the 2-1 losses, the Jaguars loss was worse. So at number 5, I put the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is ridiculous.
I put the San Francisco 49ers at number 5. And in my head, the math works. My BCS system of breaking down the quality of losses has got Jacksonville and Indianapolis right outside the top 5 with the San Francisco 49ers at number 5.
So, and I'll let you finish the rest, but I just want to make sure. So, like, if Alabama and LSU had the same 12-1 record, but Alabama beat LSU, you would put LSU in there.
If Alabama beat LSU, well, who was LSU? So who was Alabama's loss to?
Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that's a tough look for me.
They beat LSU!
I understand the problem in my system. I believe me. I get it. But this is just still where I landed.
First
still
of all,
where I landed.
I thought about it too, but I did. I did say, look.
I really wanted to put the Colts there. That's who I really wanted to
put. Well, you should have. You should have put anybody but the 49ers in there. As a matter of fact, the 49ers are probably 9th, 10th somewhere. And I don't know what they're going to do this
doesn't
Sunday.
Work. Like, why do you think that this works? Is this like the voodoo thing that you just put on the Seattle Mariners and you said it was over?
No outs, two runners on for Detroit.
This is the first game in baseball history where I look up at the TV every 2 minutes and have only seen one team bat for the last 45 minutes. I have yet to see the Seattle Mariners at bat. These have to be the quickest three innings in the history of professional baseball.
And every time I look up, there's no outs and runners on for the Tigers.
Just get this game over with.
But the Niners, honestly, they should be somewhere around 9 or 10. I think it's all smoke and mirrors. And I don't know what's going to happen this Sunday because you're going up against this juggernaut who I put at number two. Mm-hmm. This is clearly the number two team in football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, poor old Niners got to go up against them. I don't know what's going to happen. Matter of fact, I probably do know what's going to happen. That juggernaut that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because they are number two on my power rankings, the number two team in the league going up against the lowly 49ers, it's probably going to be a beatdown.
This doesn't, no one buys anything you're doing right now. No one. No one buys that stupid look you have on your face either. Got the 49ers at 5. Got the Bills at 2. I got the Bucks at 3. Last week, by the way, I had the Eagles at 1, Bills at 2, Rams at 3, Lions at 4, Bucks at 5. So the Bucks move up 2 spots.
I just realized something.
Huh?
I have my own BCS situation. The Bucks are ahead of the Eagles on my top 5. The Eagles.
The Bucks beat one loss is the Eagles.
The Eagles beat the Bucks.
Now, tell me more about your little system of power rankings here.
Just realized that.
I forgot that that's who the Bucks lost was to, was the Eagles.
Oh, man. Because I was listening to yours, and I'm like, well, yeah, I guess you can't put the Bucks ahead of the Eagles because the Eagles did beat them. And I said, wait a minute. I put the Bucks ahead of the Eagles.
You put the Bucks at 2. I have the Bucks at 3. I have the Eagles at 2. And the Lions, all of a sudden, think the Lions opening week loss to the Packers, right?
Yeah.
And they have had the top offense in the league since then.
Man, they have looked fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. And that offense.
I wasn't sure that they would either.
I wasn't either. I doubted it. The offense is humming. You see all the best parts of that offense. Jared Goff's accuracy, the speed that they have between the receivers and the running backs. The speed is just crazy.
Detroit scored again.
Another run for the Tigers. 9-2, Tigers. 9-2 here in the bottom of the 8th.
9-3, but.
Oh, 9-3, excuse me. Sorry.
Doesn't matter at this point. Like, Seattle hasn't been to bat in an hour.
But the other aspect of the Lions team that I always respected and always feared from the outside seems to be back at it, and that's that offensive line. I thought for the last 2 years, with Penei Sewell and those guys, they had the best offensive line in football. And they back at it. They are back at it. That's gonna be a tough out. Dan Campbell and those guys, they're gonna be hunting for kneecaps on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. They want to put the Chiefs in the dirt.
Mm-hmm. And you're so talking about biting that. Them, not you know taking yeah. them out. John Poles asked Dan Campbell, top 5 coach in the league. He's got to be up there. I mean, like immediately I'm thinking about McVay and Shanahan. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about LaFleur. I still think Andy Reid is a top coach in the league. That's 4 right out the gate in no particular order.
I think it comes down. It's Dan Campbell next. Dan. I got to give Dan the nod over, your boy? Liam.
And, oh, yeah, I'm not ready to put and, Liam going up there. The Harbaugh.
That one's tough. I forgot about Jim. He's better than John.
I was actually referring to John. No, he's better than John. I said Harbaugh is out of respect today, for both of them.
Today, but, he's better than John.
No.
not maybe not historically. I don't want to disrespect John historically, but today Dan Campbell's better than John. Jim, it's kind of tight. But I was thinking, what's my man in Indianapolis? Should get some
Shane Steichen.
Yeah, Steichen. He should get some love.
Okay.
Todd Bowles should get some love.
Todd Bowles is probably one who gets overlooked way too much, because when we talk about best coaches in the league, I'm not talking about this second. I'm talking about who are the best coaches in the league. Like, Kyle Shanahan is one of the best coaches in the league, like, period. Sean McVay, all those guys we named, Andy Reid. Like, Matt LaFleur's track record is absurd.
Yeah. Sirianni.
Sirianni should get some love. Like,
no, he should.
He absolutely should. Dan Campbell is up there. Nick, I wouldn't put Nick Sirianni that high on the list. Mm. I don't think I'd put Sirianni above. I wouldn't put him above John Harbaugh for sure.
I don't think Sirianni is. Well, I got to be a little fair, though, because off the top of my head, I would not put him as a top 10 coach in the league.
Really top 10?
I wouldn't, but I got to be fair and got to be respectful. He has gotten to 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And
he won one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. But my first thought, all the guys that we named, I would pick ahead of Sirianni. But maybe that's not fair or respectful.
Didn't even say Mike Tomlin.
Is he a top 10 coach in the game right now?
I don't know.
Might be the AFC North champion, though.
I don't know. I think he is. Like, I can't put Liam Cohen in there yet. Like, I can't put those guys in there. Like, I think Shane Steichen.
I got Kevin O'Connell in there, too. I'm a big believer in him.
Okay. I mean, a lot of.
It's only a year and a half, though, so it's not a large sample size.
Hmm. That's an interesting conversation. I don't know where Dan Campbell goes in the conversation. He's you know, like, it's almost like you have to have, like, era rankings, right? As we bring in our man James Hamm here from the Insiders, where we're probably just going to continue arguing with each other like we were earlier. It's almost like you got to have, like, the Tomlin, Andy Reid, John Harbaugh tier, like, of those veteran coaches, because then you get into – like, you start, I mean, Kyle Shanahan's now getting some years underneath him. So is LaFleur and McVay. But then you get to, like, Liam Cohen, Shane Steck. All of these guys, they're new.
Yeah.
It's the new hotness. Even Dan Campbell hasn't been a coach that long.
The new guys, I can't put in any top five. I definitely can't put them in top five.
Sure.
I'd be hard pressed to put them top 10. And I'm talking about the Liam Cohns. I think Kevin O'Connell is right on the cusp. Because it's only been a year, not even a year and a half with him. So I'm not sure if he's qualified to get in that top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But it almost feels like, for me personally, you got to have 3-plus years under your belt of high-level coaching to get that top 5, top 10 criteria for me.
We need Kyle here so he can tier him for us.
Excellent. You're 100% correct.
That's a good point. Kyle Madsen's coaching tiers coming to the Insider soon here on ESPN 1320. And what's coming to ESPN 1320, the Insiders, Andy Lo and KC, for the first time in a long time. I don't know this for a fact. It's probably not true. It absolutely feels like this was the longest offseason in the history of professional basketball. And while it's not opening night, we do get a Sacramento Kings basketball game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, everyone should be excited. We get to see what they actually look like on the court playing 5-on-5 against somebody other than themselves. I think this is a good test. It's a good, like, opening night matchup against a, like, pretty physical, long, athletic team. So, no, this is good. This is the beginning of it all, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we've seen a lot of practice time this week, but realistically, like, combined, we might have seen, like, 5 or 6 minutes of scrimmages. So, like, we have no idea what this group is going to look like, and I think it's a really good test for Doug to throw the players out there, see what you've got, see if the work that you're putting in is actually translating to the court, and then kind of go from there.
The last time you were in Golden 1 Center, not for practice, was the play-in game?
Mm.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, I've been in there for, like, they did food tasting from the media last week, but it was, we were up in, like, a little lounge area that we could see the court, but not on the court. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's been a little while.
That was an interesting little night. Cake pop that you gave the girls. It was like it was shaped like a lollipop. Mm-hmm. They've been into it. It was a piece of cake.
Mm. Mm. I've seen those before.
Yeah.
Seemed to be good.
Yes. Yeah. Those are good.
They were happy with that.
Those are really good.
King's cookie that you gave them.
Come on.
Good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was a terrible night, though. That Dallas night.
Oh, that was awful.
I know James was there the whole time. Awful. I think you left at halftime.
I couldn't have left fast enough. Like, this is a debacle.
I was there seemingly when Alvin got the news. We were talking to Alvin, me and a couple people, and we were just talking, and he said, I gotta go over here. He goes towards the visitors locker room, like towards that tunnel. 5 minutes later, I see Alvin walking out of that area, and I thought he was coming back to come talk to us, and he's on the phone. He's like, hold on, I gotta go. 5 minutes later, I see James's tweet about Monty McNair being fired. I'm like, all this happened within an hour of that game. That was an awful night.
I'm pretty sure it happened long before that hour after the game.
It was wild, actually. We were in the locker room, and that's where Jake Gaden goes, oh my gosh, they fired Monty McNair. And I'm like, what? He goes, Sam Amy just tweeted they fired Monty McNair. Like, you know what? Hang on one sec, because I knew where Sam was. I'm like, I walked right outside, confirmed it, came back in. Well, yeah, he's gone. And then we're seeing the players are looking around like, what in the world? Like, Domas and Valanciunas are sitting next to each other like, seriously? This just
really? Like, you guys didn't know?
They didn't. And then like, security.
Seriously? We knew before the game started.
Well, yeah. Security came in and like, hey, players out. Let's go. We got to go. We have a meeting right now. Mm. And it was way after the game. So that very, very like unconventional way to find out. But
it's the most Jake Gaden story
ever.
Yeah,
say that. Shut up.
They fired Monty McNair.
God bless Jake Gaden.
Because I think I'd be the one like in the locker room looking at the phone. Elbowing Kenny. Like, Kenny.
Yeah, like.
What?
That's what I would have been. Like.
Yeah.
What, bro?
Or, hey, your phone. Not Jake. Jake.
No. Nope.
Hey, they fired your general manager, Domas.
What in the world?
It's crazy. What do you think? What do you think?
I wish I was there.
Well, I'm a really big fan of talking to you guys, so keep it moving.
Yeah.
So there's so much talk when you guys get into practice, Hammer, about who's wearing what jersey and everybody's trying to figure out who's slotted where. Do you think we'll get an idea of Doug's thinking in terms of players tonight?
Yeah, I think we'll see the 10-man rotation. There's been a lot of talk the last couple of days that the preseason used to be 8 games and now it's 4, and you really have to ramp up. So, like, I expect players to play like 18 to 20 minutes tonight. Like, I do. I think the rotational players, the starters, you know, will play the first and the second quarters, and the second team will come in and play alongside them in the first and second quarters. I wouldn't even be surprised if we saw, you know, the players play, the main rotational guys open the third quarter. Maybe have an abbreviated third quarter, but I wouldn't be surprised because there's so much talk about, you know, what they're trying to do here and, you know, trying to build chemistry on the court and all that stuff. You don't want anyone getting hurt, but it's kind of like you're looking around like, okay, are you like a gentleman's agreement between the two coaches? Yeah, we're going to go till like mid third. Mm-hmm. And so then that way, if you're going to bring in some of the guys that are inexperienced, it's without the starters on the court for the other team.
A lot of that is so you don't get your starters killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
About a kid trying to earn a G League contract. No mm-hmm. shot. Like, that's what you're supposed to do, but.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Do you feel that Doug is putting an emphasis on these preseason games, not wins and losses or nothing like that, but as far as minutes in working on rotation?
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
...and working on combinations of guys playing together. Do you think he's really looking at these games as a way to test that out?
Yeah, because right now all you have is like, you've seen it in practice. You've seen them develop some stuff like throughout, you know, the end of summer here where a lot of the guys were, you know, in Sacramento the week or two before. But even Doug said like he was going to add some new stuff in today before the game. And so it was really fresh and new and like, hey, we're going to do this tonight. I need you guys to figure it out. Yeah, I think this is like you're trying to build on knowledge and you're trying to turn sort of basketball abstract into and see what it looks like, see what it looks like on the court and your vision of what you want to see. And if that vision translates to good basketball or if it doesn't. And, you know, I think that there's always a way in which a coach can have like a magical idea, at least initially, that changes the direction of a team in the first month of the season where they're just way better than everyone thought or way worse than everyone thought. So I think this is where you're kind of testing out everything. And this is your proving ground for, you know, what it is, the work that you've put in so far and whether or not you need to make a bunch of tweaks. Now, I'll also say like, Mike Woodson, Mike Miller are, you know, longtime NBA assistant coaches. Same with Bobby Jackson, same at this point with Leandro Barbosa. And then you have veterans that have been there forever. No one has stood up and said, hey, we're doing some weird stuff here that we've never seen before, and this is awkward, and I don't know if this is going to work. We haven't heard that yet. It's not like, you know, Doug's out there doing some Jerry Glanville, you know, run and shoot offense that may or may not work. You know, this is just, it's basketball. And I think that it's going to take a little while for them to build chemistry. But I also think we're going to get a good idea of not only Doug's rotations, but Doug's, you know, the group that's going to be out there and sort of the style of play.
Do you think Doug knows exactly what he's looking for?
Yeah, because I mean he's been around the game for so long, you know, not just as a player, but you know, as a television person, as a radio person.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are things that you're always looking for, like the aha moments with a player, with, you know, I think they've already seen a little bit of it. I asked him yesterday about what kind of stood out so far. Was there anything that had surprised him positively or negatively about whether it was an individual or it was whether the group? And, you know, he kind of went off for a little bit about, you know, the different players who have stepped up or maybe doing things that you didn't know they could do, maybe are a little bit more advanced in the system than you thought they would be. You know, specifically, he said Neat Clifford is someone who just, like, there's a bunch of things that he just gets on the court, and that's good to see. You know, anytime you have a rookie who comes in and can instantly start running the pick and roll, and you just realize that he has an advanced understanding of the pick and roll game, that's really good. Mm-hmm. And so you're willing to give him more and more and more because you don't have to strip down things when he's on the court. So whether he's playing the one, the two, the three, I don't know what we're going to see from him, where he's going to play, but I'm kind of intrigued because I think he's part of the rotation coming out of camp. And there's going to be a lot of those little pieces like that.
You know what's interesting now that I just kind of thought about this? We haven't heard much about or from Neat Clifford in this beginning of training camp. At least I haven't. Like, we've heard, man, Dennis, what he brings to the table, and Malik, and all these guys look ready to go. They're picking up 94 feet. And I wonder, I want to see what Neat Clifford looks like out there, especially after the summer that he had and the way he played in summer league. I want to see him out here with the NBA guys and under the tutelage of Doug Christie. I wonder what he looks like tonight.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is whether or not he stands out for the negative, right? If he just looks like a basketball player and looks like he gets it like he did in summer league, it's going to be like a really, really nice find, you know, with the 24th pick. And it's also going to be one of those moments where you're like, okay, another rotational player. Mm-hmm. That's big. You know, like, we can't just assume that Neek is going to, especially in year one, be a rotational player that plays, you know, all 82 games or 75 games and, you know, is getting between 12 and 18 minutes a night. There's nothing that says that's going to be the case, especially for a guy taken in the 20s in a draft.
Well, we were talking about that earlier, Hammers. You know, the tanking conversation always, you know, brings itself up. And we talk about, you know, we're talking about different teams like Oklahoma City and Philadelphia in particular. And how, particularly with Oklahoma City, like, you have to hit, like, you talk about Neek, you know, being drafted 24, you have to hit on your 24th pick. Like, it's not about tanking and landing the number one pick or you know, whatever that is. You have the 24th pick or the 17th pick or the 7th pick or the 2nd pick. You have to hit on it. You have to draft right. So Neek becoming a solid rotational player is one of those situations where it's like, yo, okay, this is a good start because the Kings hit on the 24th pick, and that's what you need to happen.
Yeah, well, that, and you're just trying to build something, right? And we don't know if Neek is going to be a starter one day. We don't know if he's going to be even a rotational player. Like, you don't know until you get him on the court. But I do think that the Kings, over the last couple of years, they've really taken that extra step to, when you're a good team, you usually go with veteran college players in the draft because you want them to be NBA ready as soon as possible. I think the Kings have taken that to like a different degree. And again, I don't care if it's Monty and Wes or if it's Scott Perry. I mean, Scott Perry just drafted two guys with a combined 9 years of college, you know, between Maxim Reyno and Neat Clifford. And you go back to...
It's more like Monty McNair than we realize.
Well, I mean, Monty, the only player that he took that wasn't a sophomore or junior, senior, the only one was Jamias Ramsey. That's the only player he drafted under the age of 20.
No wonder.
And all the time he was here. And, you know, and he had an extra second round pick in that draft and just kind of took a flyer. So, like, look, I think that there is a way in which, you know, Neek has a much bigger role on this team, but we won't know until you see it on the court. Like, it, you know, guys forever have looked amazing in training camp, and you the bright lights turn on, and it's like, oh, boy. So, yeah, you're just hoping that that's not the case and that he just continues to get better and become a rotational guy.
Them lights mm-hmm. can be an issue for some people. All right, Hammer, we'll do this again. Tell me why Maxime Raynaud cannot – I shouldn't say that. You don't think he would get the backup center minutes. I know he's a rookie. I know he's a second-round guy. And there are concerns that I have about his physicality and being able to hold up physically to some of the play in the paint. But my thought is it's the backup center spot, man. Like, let him go out there and take his lumps. Like, tell me why that might not be the best strategy and the direction the Kings might go.
Well, like, look, if he goes out there and in not only training camp but in preseason and earns a job, then give it to him. Like, there's no reason not to. Like, we've talked about this forever about, like, Drew Eubanks. Drew Eubanks, one of the beauties to bring in a player like that is that he does give you something different, right? And on top of that, he's a guy that has been a second string, a third string, a fourth string center on a roster. He understands that they signed him to a one-year deal and that Maxime Raynaud is eventually going to be the guy if he figures it out. I'm kind of the opinion that, like, hey, why not just run him out there? But I also get that that's not typical for NBA teams to do. And you also have to look at the other players that you might just run it out there with. So, you know, like, if you're going to play Neek Clifford, it probably does impact whether Maxime Raynaud plays or not. And it's not because those two don't have chemistry or anything else. It's because you want to support Neek Clifford the right way, and that is to have experience around him. So having a guy like, you know, Drew Eubanks step in, who is going to be in position more often than not and not be, like, leaving a guy hung out to dry, that's one reason. But I'd also say the same thing about Isaac Jones. Like, I want to see Isaac Jones play. Like, I think every time I've seen Isaac Jones play, he shows me something. Like, he's a ball player and a guy who does all the dirty work and doesn't, you don't need to run plays for him or anything else. He's probably, like, the best back to the basket guy they have on the team. And so, like, the guy can score in a variety of ways. He brings energy. He doesn't mind playing defense. Like, there's so much to him. But again, if you're going to play Raynaud, you probably want to go with a more veteran, you know, stable person next to him. If you're going to play Neek Clifford, I don't see a way in which they open the season with Neek, with Isaac Jones, and with Maxime all playing at the same time. Because that's just a recipe for disaster with young players who aren't established yet and don't quite know all of the ins and outs of the league.
So do you think Max is the odd man out, or do you think Max and Isaac are the odd men out, and really this is Neek with the veterans, so to speak?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that it is veterans. I also think there's a good chance that you're not going to run a bunch of different looks at the four. Like,
sure.
I think you could go Maxime and then, you know, take DeMar. When you pull Keegan, move DeMar over to the four and add another player there. So that's where I think you could put Neek Clifford in. Like, I don't know. Like, Doug's talked about a 10-man rotation, but, you know, most head coaches, once it really gets down to it, and when things go sideways and when you're trying to build chemistry early, it's usually easier to start with a smaller group and a group that understands the game really well, and then start filtering players in that maybe don't know the system as well and don't have the experience. So I wouldn't doubt that Neek is the guy who they first start to filter minutes to, and then we start to see it grow from there. Maybe Isaac, because he played last year a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I also point to, like, the fact when Doug took over for Mike Brown, like, it was very, very quickly that Isaac Jones just didn't exist anymore. And he went to the G League and played a bunch of games and looked like a, you know, a superstar at the G League level. But, yeah, I would be surprised if you see all three young players play early on. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they've done enough in camp to earn that from Doug and the coaching staff.
I wonder if maybe you put you talk about surprise the young guys playing together. Probably put Devin Carter in that group as well. That'd be surprised if two of those four people were playing. Maybe well, no, because I think Neek and Max could play, but yeah, I think between the four, then those two. Isaac Jones and Devin Carter. Yeah, I just don't see the minutes where three of those four guys are playing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really tough. Like, I don't know what the rotation's going to be, but I wouldn't be shocked to see, like, Keon, Malik, and Neek come in together, and then they stagger minutes after that for a guy like... you know, Zach LaVine coming in to play the two, and then, you know, pulling Debo initially, but then bringing Debo back in and having him go spell Keegan Murray, pulling Keegan Murray off, and then coming back with Isaac Jones, moving DeMar back to the small, and then having Keegan swap out for DeMar, and then all of a sudden you've got, you know, Keegan playing a little bit more three. I think you can sit here and move pieces around quite a bit. But at the end of the day, what you're looking for is these little, you know, two-man groups, three-man groups that worked really well together. And then you're trying to manipulate everything else to get pieces that support those groups. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you could have a really nice offensive 1-2-3 that you like on one side, but then you realize that either you're bad defensively or you're not getting any rebounds. So now you got to start mixing and matching who the other two guys are on the court with those guys to try to support. So it's a puzzle, and I'm hoping that, you know, they're a little bit further along with the puzzle than we think they are.
And whatever the rotation is tonight, of course, we're going to pick it apart and dissect it tomorrow because that's what we do.
Yeah.
We don't have to panic about it either. If your if the young guy that you want to see play or if there's a particular part of the rotation, like Doug told – you yesterday told us yesterday, yeah, there we have to do this all in real live action. We have to do this against like an opponent. We have to do this against somebody who is trying to beat us in a game. And so how we do things in here in practice may not exactly look like what we're going to do on Wednesday, meaning today. What they do today may not look exactly like what he does 2 weeks from today.
Oh, when yeah.
They play Phoenix, and that game is for real.
Well, that, and I think you have a game today, you have a day off tomorrow, you have a game on Friday, then you have a day or two off, then you play your final two preseason games, and then you have a week.
Yeah.
So you're going to get film on yourself playing against other teams. You know, it's one thing to have film from the practice facility, which they do. I mean, that's, I think when...
Yeah, Doug referenced it the other day. He was like, when I went back and watched the film of practice, he's like, yeah, we actually did... more well because he talked about the day after. I can't remember what day it was. I think it was Monday. Maybe they had gotten Sunday off.
Yeah.
And he, you know, was a little critical of the energy that they had on Monday.
That's typical.
And then Tuesday he told you, he was like, energy was much better. And he was like, you know, actually yesterday wasn't that bad. Like I went back and looked at the film from practice and we did a lot of things well in that practice.
Well, that, and I think in your first training camp, you're going to be hypercritical. And when you come back from a day off and you don't see the same pop, like it stands out to you and you get frustrated because like, I gave you guys a day off and this is how you're going to repay me. And then you take a step back and you realize that this is the way camp always goes. Like it's like clockwork. Like someone always has ice bags on the third day, right? And then you get to like the day off, it's always this way. There's always like a big lag in them getting back on the court. And like these guys have lives, they've got families.
Well, I think when you're training, like as hard as these guys are training, you're in as tired as you might be, you are in a rhythm. In a rhythm of a routine of, you know, waking up, eating, doing certain things at a certain time, practicing at a certain time, doing all of these different things. And as much as the body and the mind might need that day of recovery, getting back into the groove is really hard.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they don't want to take days off at this point. You know, some guys are looking forward to it big time, but other guys are like, no, I'll be in the gym all day tomorrow lifting and getting my shots up and everything else. You know, like this is a team of workers. Like, and that's what I've noticed, like, throughout camp. Like, everyone is in great shape. It feels like everybody went and did the work that they were supposed to do during the offseason. Now, whether that translates to wins or not, who knows? Like, we just don't know. But, you know, I think they are on at least the right path. And we just have to see what they look like when again, the lights are on. Yeah. And, like, I played high school football. Like, you know how many times we ran the same exact play again and again and again. And the offense is, you know, like, they keep messing up. And at the same time, the defense knows the play we're running. Right? Right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, like, don't play hero ball. That's what they always say. But there's always that guy who decides he's going to go run right through the middle of the drill and hit the guy when he knows the play's coming. He knows exactly what's coming at them, and he just decides to blow it up every time. You're like, okay, this is frustrating. So when you're at a camp and you're all sitting there getting yelled at about the same exact thing and going through the same exact drills, and you know what's coming at you. It's just whether you're going to be able to, you know, like, actually stay in your lane but still make a play. And so, like, hopefully that's what's so good about playing against opposition, about getting these preseason games in.
Stay in your lane.
You mentioned something there about the shape that the team is in. I want to ask you about that, but it's going to require a lengthy answer. So what we'll do is we'll step out, we'll come back, and we'll talk more with James Hamm as we get ready for Kings basketball tonight. It's the Kings and the Raptors at the Golden 1 Center. Much more ahead here with D'Lo and KC and James Hamm on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC on the home for Sacramento Sports Talk, ESPN 1320.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.